Hey there, and welcome to a deep dive crafted just for you. Today, we're going to be stepping into the captivating world of Leonardo da Vinci.
Da Vinci, yeah.
And this isn't just like a history lesson, though.
Right.
Get ready for art symbolism and a dash of intrigue as we explore da Vinci's St. John the Baptist.
Definitely intrigue.
A painting considered to be his very last masterpiece.
It's true. This painting is like his final word on artistry, and it's brimming with mystery.
Right. And speaking of mystery, there's this enigmatic smile, kind of like the Mona Lisa.
Oh, absolutely.
That has art historians buzzing.
Yeah, they love that.
But let's back up for a second. Imagine yourself standing in front of this painting. What would you see?
You'd see a lone figure, almost ghost-like, emerging from a shadowy background.
Okay.
He's draped in furs, which is unusual for a saint, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
In one hand, he holds a reed cross, and with the other, he points upward towards the heavens. And then there's that smile, subtle yet powerful.
Yeah.
As if he knows something we don't.
It's giving, I've got a secret vibes for sure. But those furs, that pointing gesture, it's not your typical St. John the Baptist, is it?
Not at all.
Hmm?
If you think about earlier portrayals of John the Baptist, they often emphasized his austerity.
Yeah.
You know, a life of repentance. They depicted him as gaunt, almost skeletal.
Wow.
But Leonardo takes a different approach. Here, John is youthful, almost androgynous, which begs the question, what was Leonardo going for with this departure from tradition?
Okay, so we've got a young androgynous figure emerging from the darkness, pointing towards the heavens. I can already tell there's some serious symbolism we need to unpack. But before we get into all that you mentioned, chiaroscuro, what's the significance of Leonardo's use of light and shadow here?
It's brilliant, really. By using this dramatic contrast of light and shadow, he draws our eyes directly to John. It's almost as if he's commanding us to pay attention, saying, look closer. There's more to this than you think.
Wow.
This technique is not merely aesthetic. It's purposeful, adding another layer of intrigue to the painting.
So he's highlighting John, making him stand out both literally and figuratively. And you mentioned this idea of androgyny and even an erotic charge that some historians see in the painting. I know this was something Leonardo was interested in, exploring this full spectrum of human experience.
Absolutely. Leonardo was fascinated by the fluidity of identity, pushing beyond the traditional binaries of male and female, physical and spiritual. He wanted to capture the totality of human experience, and this interest is reflected in his art. For example, in his notebooks, he explored the concept of androgyny as a representation of perfect beauty and spiritual wholeness.
Yeah.
He saw it not as a blurring of genders, but as a transcendence of them.
That's so interesting. It's like he's challenging the viewer to look beyond the surface and grapple with these complex ideas about identity and representation. Speaking of looking beyond the surface, there's another layer to this mystery that I find utterly fascinating. Isn't there speculation about the model for this painting being someone Leonardo knew quite well?
You're talking about Sully, of course, Leonardo's apprentice and rumored muse. If it is indeed Sully, it adds an entirely new dimension to the artwork. Think about it. The face of this enigmatic figure imbued with such ambiguity and allure might have belonged to someone Leonardo knew intimately.
Wow. It's like suddenly we're seeing the painting through a new lens, one that hints at a deeper, more personal connection between the artist and his subject. It makes you wonder about the conversations they might have had, the emotions that might have been exchanged. It's like a glimpse into Leonardo's inner circle, his artistic process, and perhaps even his heart.
It's fascinating how a painting can hold so many layers of meaning, isn't it? And speaking of layers, let's peel back another one and talk about the symbolism embedded in this artwork, for instance, that pointing gesture. It's not just a random detail.
Right. You mentioned earlier it connects to depictions of St. Anne. Could you elaborate on that? What's the significance of that connection?
Well, in Christian art, the pointing gesture often signifies a kind of spiritual guidance, a direction towards divine grace. Now, Leonardo uses this gesture in other works, most notably in his depictions of St. Anne, who is often shown presenting the Virgin Mary and the Christ child. So by echoing this gesture in St. John the Baptist, Leonardo could be hinting at a parallel. He's drawing a subtle connection between John, who prepared the way for Christ, and St. Anne, who nurtured and guided Mary, the mother of Christ.
So it's like he's weaving together these different strands of religious symbolism, creating a tapestry of meaning that extends beyond the single figure of St. John.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, if John is pointing the way, what exactly is he pointing towards?
That's the question, isn't it? Some art historians believe he's pointing towards salvation, towards the heavens.
Mm.
But remember that enigmatic smile. It's as if he's privy to a secret, a deeper understanding of the divine mystery. And this connects to another interpretation of John as the eternal question mark. He represents not just the path to enlightenment, but also the mysteries that lie along the way, the questions that faith seeks to answer.
It's like he's inviting us to join him on this spiritual quest to ponder the big questions alongside him. And you know what else I find interesting? The fact that this painting, with all its mystery and symbolism, has traveled through time-changing hands from kings to bankers to cardinals. It's almost like it has a life of its own.
It's true. The provenance of this painting is almost as captivating as the artwork itself. We know it was in the possession of King Francis I of France in the early 16th century. He was a great admirer of Leonardo's work and even brought the artist to France during the last years of his life.
That's right. Francis. I was known for his patronage of the arts. He amassed an incredible collection, so it seems fitting that St. John the Baptist would have found a home with him. But it didn't stay put there, did it?
No. Its journey continued across borders and dynasties. From Francis I, it passed to King Charles I of England in the 17th century, then to a series of private collectors before eventually landing in its current home, the Louvre Museum in Paris.
The Louvre. It's almost poetic, isn't it? This masterpiece, created by an Italian master, finally finding its way to one of the most renowned art museums in the world, where it continues to captivate audiences from all corners of the globe.
And it's not just the general public that finds it captivating. St. John the Baptist has also had a profound impact on other artists throughout history. Raphael, for example, was clearly influenced by Leonardo's innovative approach to depicting the youthful saint. You can see echoes of this painting in Raphael's own renderings of John the Baptist.
So even centuries later, Leonardo's work continues to inspire and influence. It's like a conversation across time with artists responding to and building upon each other's ideas. Speaking of influence, earlier you mentioned this idea of John as the eternal question mark. I'm curious, does this interpretation have any roots in Leonardo's other works? Was he known for exploring themes of ambiguity and mystery in his art?
Absolutely. Ambiguity and mystery are kind of like his signature, you know?
Yeah.
Think about the Mona Lisa, for example. Her smile, much like St. John's, is a source of endless speculation. It's as if Leonardo intentionally left these details open to interpretation, inviting us to ponder their meaning. And it's not just in his paintings.
Right.
Leonardo's notebooks are filled with sketches, inventions, and philosophical musings that reflect his insatiable curiosity and his desire to unravel the mysteries of the natural world and the human condition.
It's like he's saying, here's what I've observed, here's what I've imagined, now you make sense of it. It's a very different approach from the more didactic art of earlier periods, and it's especially striking when you consider the subject matter, a religious figure like St. John the Baptist. It's almost subversive, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Leonardo was challenging the conventions of religious art. He wasn't content with simply reproducing the standard iconography. He wanted to explore the human drama behind the divine, to capture the emotional and psychological complexity of these figures. Remember, this was the Renaissance, a time of intellectual and artistic ferment. The church's authority was being questioned, and artists and thinkers were pushing boundaries in all sorts of ways.
So, in a way, Leonardo's St. John the Baptist embodies the spirit of the Renaissance, the spirit of inquiry, of challenging dogma, of embracing ambiguity. It's not just a beautiful painting. It's a cultural artifact that reflects a pivotal moment in human history.
Precisely. And that's what makes studying art from this period so fascinating. It's not just about aesthetics. It's about understanding the cultural, intellectual, and religious currents that shaped these works of art.
It's about connecting with the minds of geniuses like Leonardo da Vinci, even across centuries. It's about seeing the world through their eyes, even if just for a moment. So as we wrap up this deep dive into St. John the Baptist, what's the one thing you hope our listener takes away from this exploration?
I think the most important takeaway is this. Don't just look at art, experience it.
Oh.
Engage with his ambiguity, ask questions, allow yourself to feel the emotions it evokes. In the case of St. John the Baptist, let Leonardo's masterpiece challenge your preconceived notions of religious iconography. And don't stop there. Use this as a springboard to explore Leonardo's other works, to delve deeper into the Italian Renaissance, and discover the endless wonders that art history has to offer.
Beautifully said. And who knows, maybe this deep dive will spark a lifelong passion for art in our listener. Because once you start exploring the world through art, you never know what hidden depths you might uncover. So until next time, happy exploring.